Welcome to the Post Game Plan. This is the career development home for all current as well as former NBA players. I am your host, Ali Samani. And every so often, every so many interviews, we have an interview which I know is not going to do justice to the 30 minutes that we've allocated to it. And today is just one of those days because we have a very special guest. His name is Chris Herron. He is an author. He's also the owner of Hoop Dreams with Chris Herron, author of Basketball Junkie, a memoir, as well former high school as well as college player standout from Fall River, Massachusetts, and we're really excited to have him. Drafted 33rd overall in the 1999 NBA draft by the Denver Nuggets. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we're really excited about this interview. I know that being obviously the owner of the Hoop Dreams with Chris Herron, the whole premise behind the mission, it really coincides with some of the stuff that, you know, we believe in here at the Post Game Plan. So I know there's going to be a lot you could hopefully share with our listeners.
Sure.
Right. So as we get started, I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, when you first entered, I guess, even as a college student, as a college player, tell me a little bit about some of the mentors or even if you had any at the time that you'd look up to.
You know, I had plenty. I mean, I watched my older brother play high school basketball and do it very well and with great success. I also had a legendary coach in Skip Karam, who I think is the all-time winningest coach in Massachusetts. So I had plenty of people growing up as a kid who I had envy for and that I really, really looked up to.
Okay. Now, as you entered the league, I mean, you had a number of things that you were dealing with personally, which were definitely challenging. Could you tell me a little bit about how I had read somewhere that when you entered the Denver Nuggets, you had a kind of a core team that was kind of helping you, which included Antonio McDice, I believe, as well as Chauncey Billups, who were great role models that you saw that were kind of there to support you.
Yeah, I mean, the team was filled with veterans, and you know, we had Antonio and Nick and Roy Rogers, Popeye Jones, Brian Stitt, George McLeod. So I was surrounded by a group of men who were very instrumental that season at being leaders and having me concerned about me doing the right thing.
And what were some of the things that you think, you know, they were able to emulate? One of the things that I find interesting is that, you know, so much of being a part of a team, especially whether it's at a high school level or a college level or even at the professional level, each individual has their own life. They have their own issues. They have their own personal life that they're dealing with. And it's really interesting to see that the dynamic of a team can have such a profound impact on somebody individually as well, and can really help you become a better person if you have some core individuals around you. Have you found that even within your camps as well as, you know, within your own experiences from high school, college, and professional?
Sure. I mean, you know, they sacrifice, you know, themselves. And I think that's what leaders do. And I think that's what they showed me at that age. That it was okay to sacrifice yourself, your social life to help another one out. And, you know, my camps and my with Hoop Dreams, it's, you know, I have all age groups. You know, we have high level players and we have beginners. And, you know, the one thing I stress is to always be kind to one another in the gym, to motivate each other. You know, it's all about self confidence and self esteem and self worth. And I think when you have those things, you know, you're definitely a much better athlete / basketball player.
Now, one of the, you know, unfortunate things with your own kind of, life experiences was that, you know, you may have got influenced by the wrong things or been exposed to the wrong things. Do you think even as a professional athlete or someone that's aspiring to be that, there are vulnerable you know, opportunities in your life, even as a professional athlete, even when you think all things are going so fantastically great?
Well, you know, I mean, from the outside looking in, for me, you know, people thought that I was living a dream. And,
right.
And, you know, from the basketball standpoint, I was. You know, but I also had this gorilla on my back with addiction. And addiction is much more powerful, you know, than one's dream. You know, addiction shatters dreams and shatters families. And so, you know, from the outside looking in, yes, it was an amazing experience. But, you know, try living that dream with a nightmare on your back.
And do you think, I mean, right now, even from the individual that you speak to, the kids in your camp, do you think is that still a prevalent thing, like addiction among professional athletes, and lack of confidence, things of that nature?
You broke up for a second. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I apologize. I wanted to ask, do you think that that's still a prevalent issue in terms of, you know, elements of addiction, whether it's at the high school level, college, or even the professional level, and lack of confidence? Is that something that still exists within, you know, these professional sports?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a definite that there's addiction in sports. I mean, there's addiction everywhere. It affects all races, all social barriers. It breaks down and economic barriers. So, you know, it's around, and you know, it's, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, how much of it is in the NBA? And I said, you know, my simple answer to them is, whoever is dealing with it in the NBA won't be in the NBA long, because you can't live that lifestyle and maintain a high level professional career. It's impossible. So, you know, I see it in the youth of today. I think the kids today have a very, very tough time because of the pharmaceuticals that are out nowadays with Adderall and the painkillers and Oxycontin. You know, that, you know, I didn't have that growing up as a kid. You know, I didn't have access to speed and that type of, and those type of powerful painkillers that can flip your life upside down in the matter of seconds.
And when you played for the Boston Celtics, I mean, that was a little bit of a challenging time for you from an addiction standpoint. Can you tell me a little bit about how that experience was and how you kind of how it kind of fell through from a professional standpoint?
Well, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was that's the only way I can describe it. I mean, I was ingesting 1,600 milligrams of Oxycontin a day. You know, I mean, if you look at the pictures of me playing for the Celtics, I look extremely, extremely unhealthy. And, you know, so my experience there, although today I can look at it and be grateful that I reached that level, when I was there, it was a total nightmare.
Wow. So tell me about some of those, you know, and this was obviously a very difficult time. Tell me about how you identified to yourself that, you know, okay, I have this problem. Now, what steps do I need to take to get beyond that, to work beyond this?
Oh, I wasn't even looking at it from that perspective at that time. I was just so deep into my addiction that I, you know, opiates, once it becomes a daily use, you don't have the, you know, your only opportunity at escaping it is jumping into a detox program and getting treatment. You know, so, and that's the disguise, that's the devil in disguise of the drug, because I kept telling myself, you know, I can't go into a treatment program because, you know, the Celtics and my NBA career would be over. You know, hindsight and looking back, you know, maybe if I jumped into one for 30 days and came out and addressed it and started my sobriety, then I might still be playing. That being said, I don't reflect back on those days like that. I'm comfortable and very happy where I am today. You know, I believe that everything happens for a reason, and you know, acceptance is a very powerful word and a very freeing word.
Wow. Absolutely. So I guess touching upon that, you gained your sobriety in around 2008, mid-2008, August, is that right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what steps you took to build your confidence up from that level that, you know, I'm okay without all these types of influences.
Yeah, well, it took is long-term treatment for me. You know, I was long-term in addiction and you know, 15 years of addiction, you're not going to solve it in 4 or 5 days. You know, I did a lot of work and went through a program in New York called Daytop. And when I came out of there, I went into one in Cape Cod by the name of Gosnold. And, you know, I spent a total of 10 months in treatment. And, you know, I thank God every day that, you know, those treatment centers opened their doors to me and allowed me to get well. But it took a lot of work.
So what are some of the things that you teach, I guess, your students today? Like, what are the main areas of focus that you kind of stress within a basketball camp or a session?
Well, I mean, the kids, you know, they know my history, and they know that I am perfectly capable of teaching them how to play basketball, and they
right.
know that. And,
right.
and I'm blessed that they also know that I'm perfectly capable of talking to them about some life issues that may come up in their life or later on in their life. So I have the beauty of being able to cover both ends. You know, the kids in my school, I stress that, you know, although basketball is a great sport and it's important, but it also is it's a sport that, you know, that ends, you know, and the game, you know, not everybody makes it, you know, and for most it ends after high school. So if I can, you know, instill in these kids to believe in themselves, to work hard, to have self-confidence, high self-esteem, and a big self-worth, then I've done my job, and that's my goal, that's my mission.
Yeah, I really like what you just said there in terms of the fact that a lot of these players, I mean, in many cases, you were very fortunate and lucky to be blessed to have the opportunity to play in the NBA. The percentages of individuals that make it to professional sports are very slim. And if you have all these students that are committing their lives to a sport and then may have to deal with whatever influences or addictions that come their way, things could get very difficult if they're not given that opportunity to even change or that opportunity to play professional. So when you are speaking to them about preparing for life after the game, what kind of things do you mention to them?
Well, I just think that I just make them aware of that. You know, I make them aware that it will end and it's not a failure when it is, you know, when that day comes, you know, that, you know, no matter what level you reach, you know, it's okay that it ends. And, you know, it's, there's a lot of joy that you can get out of the game. And, you know, but one, sometimes parents, invest too much into it emotionally, financially, you know, and set unrealistic expectations on their children. And, you know, and I'm there to kind of be the in-between of that and kind of tell the parents they need to step back for a second and let their children enjoy the game and not only enjoy it, but, you know, hopefully they enjoy it enough that when they're 30 and they're working, you know, they can stay active and play in leagues and be healthy through the game. You know, it's a lottery ticket. You know, it's a lottery ticket to go to the NBA. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, most kids in my gym will become drug addicts or alcoholics before they become an NBA basketball player.
Yeah.
You know, most kids will deal with depression issues and life issues before they become NBA basketball players. So a lot of my focus is not, I don't talk about substance abuse in my gym. You know,
right.
I teach them basketball. I care for the kids. I'm gentle with the kids. And hopefully, you know, they get the message the way I approach it.
That's great. Now, you also wrote a book called Basketball Junkie, a Memoir. When did you write that, and what was, I guess, the incentive to write it for you and to tell your story?
I wrote the book. The book came out in May, took me about 9 months to do. You know, my incentive for the story was to reach people who are struggling. You know, I think that it's very easy for people to get sober and to never look back and never acknowledge the past and what the tough times that they went through. But I think there needs to be more messages of hope that, you know, no matter how deep into it you are, you know, there's always a way out. And, you know, I spilled my gut to try to hopefully inspire somebody to turn their life around.
So, if you don't mind, you just said that you think it's very easy for someone to kind of become sober. That strength, obviously, even with having mental health issues or depression issues, do you think that if someone is focused enough, someone has enough courage and willpower, all these things can happen very quickly?
Well, I think that, you know, with courage and willpower, I think a lot can happen.
Right.
I also believe that without a higher power, without a strong faith, without a very strong support system, and the ability to take suggestions from people who have done it before you, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, it's not just willpower. You know, if it was just willpower, a lot of people would, you know, there would be a lot more people sober out there.
Right.
There's many different components to it. And, you know, when you're ready and you're willing and you are able to turn it over, I think then life begins for you.
So what are you, currently, what are you working on right now in terms of where are your main areas of focus?
You know, my main area of focus is, you know, with going out and doing public speaking and try to, you know, reach kids and reach college students and to tell them my story and to tell them that, you know, it's possible, it can happen to you, to make choices at an early age that will impact your life later on. You know, make good choices because the bad choices could stay with you for a very long time. You know, I tell them I did my first line of cocaine at 18 and thought, you know, I'd walk away from it. And it took me 14 years to walk away. So it's, you know, if I can preemptively get in front of a kid through my story, that's what it's all about for me. You know, but life's good. I mean, I started a nonprofit organization to call the Heron Project, and we try our best to help people getting to treatment centers. You know, nowadays insurance companies don't pay and don't give much time at all to an addict to get their treatment. You know, I mean, the most a heroin addict will get is a 4-day detox. You know, with the best insurance in the world, you might get 12 days. You know, that's a very short time for a lifelong illness. So what we do is I've you know, worked with substance abuse centers all over the East Coast. And what we'll do is if someone contacts us, we will make some phone calls and pay for them to go to treatment for a long, extended time.
Wow, that's fantastic. So at the end of each show, we have a pay-it-forward type of moment where our guest has the opportunity to speak with some of the current players that are out there in the league, as well as the aspiring players. And if there were a couple of messages that you think would be important for them to focus on for their own life after basketball, what do you think those would be? And I'd love for you to just share your thoughts.
You know, I think it's important for everybody to know that, you know, there's a bigger purpose in life and to extend yourself and use your resources to help others. You know, at times we can all be selfish and self-centered, you know, but the players in the league today have an amazing opportunity to reach the youth of today and inspire them to not only be basketball players, because most won't, but to be good and to be kind and to be gentle and to know that, no matter what, without when basketball ends, you know, you can be successful and you can be successful in other areas of life besides sports. You know, I've been blessed. I mean, know, the people that have reached out to me after this Unguarded came out on ESPN, you know, such as Dwayne Wade and J.J. Redick and Monty Williams, you know, I'm blessed with messages like that that are sent to me. I can truly, truly appreciate the time that they took out of their day to reach out to me. So those guys I look up to. I mean, they'll be forever. I'll be forever fans for them.
Wow, that's great. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much, Chris. Can you just share with my listeners where they could find you, be it online or from your programs?
Sure. I mean, they can find me online at ahoopdream.com. They can email, theheronproject.org. You know, that's the nonprofit.
Okay.
And, you know, and I'm always, you know, I'm on Twitter at @C_Heron. So, you know, there's many ways they can reach out, and I'd be more than happy to reply back or to talk with anybody who needs help.
Chris, thank you so much for this interview. Thank you so much for your time. You're truly
a great
role model and inspiration for the young kids that are out there, and I'm so happy that you're spreading your positive message of life and learning and the ability to really create change in your life, because I think that your life story really goes beyond just addiction. It goes into individuals that have issues with mental health, depression, which is prevalent among so many people in this world. And if you can get through those types of things with positive individuals like yourself, then that's what it's really all about. So thank you once again so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care, Chris. And thank you to the post-game listeners, post-game plan listeners. I look forward to hearing from you guys, hearing your feedback and comments. And I'll catch you guys again soon. Take care.